take up your business. This is sorry. I'd like to go ahead and call the Arizona Board of Psychology Examiners meeting of application meeting to order. The time is 7:34. And Ms. Polk, would you like to do the roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Okay. I'd like to move to item number 3, approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So motion.
A second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion approved. We can move to item number 4, which is discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. And for this item, we have 6 categories. I recommend, since we have Dr. Bush on the line, I recommend that we move to item number 5, F of 4, Evelyn Bush, PsyD. And Dr. Myers, would you like to do a brief description of the applicant, and then we can discuss it and ask her questions if you have any?
Yes. So Dr. Bush graduated from Charisma University. It is not APA accredited, was a PsyD program. She completed an internship between 2017 and 2018 at MD24 House Call. There was a training plan, and she is currently in a postdoc at the same location. In looking at her application, there were a couple of things that I noticed. In describing her coursework from Charisma University, it did seem that there may be some courses that don't quite fit in the under each category, and it seems that there may not all categories may not be covered. And then the other thing that I noticed was, with the internship, it seems like we are short on supervision hours.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Myers, for that description. I am looking at Dr. Bush's doctoral transcript, and there was an evaluation done by West, which is an agency that evaluates foreign transcripts. And they provide equivalencies in terms of credit hours. And there are a couple of things that I think I would like to recommend that we ask Dr. Bush to submit so we can do a subsequent review of this application. One is that I would like to see syllabi of the courses that were completed. So I'm hoping Dr. Bush has those on file or can obtain those. When you look at her transcript, she kind of did it more recently. So I'm hoping that we do have access to the files. So that's one thing I would recommend. The second thing is she does not have an ethics course. And looking at all of the descriptions of the courses, some of the other courses, as you mentioned, Dr. Myers, look pretty close, you know, like cognition and, you know, the titles at least resemble titles that we offer here in the U.S. And clinical research methods, biological basis, developmental issues. It's important that Dr. Bush, that you do not double count courses. If you're using it in one category, for example, the learning, cognition, and emotion fits in the cognitive affective basis, and it does not fit in the ethics, so please don't list them twice because you do not get double credit. You can only list the courses once in each of the categories if you're counting it for credit. So either you're not listed, like psychology of aging should not be listed in research method and statistics. Just throwing in courses is not a way to kind of, you know, you need to make the decision based on what we discuss in the description and include only those courses that would matter. So in the first scientific professional ethics, maybe clinical psychology would qualify, but we would need to see a syllabus. And it would need to consider the APA standards of ethics and psychology. If those are not covered, then I recommend that you complete a course in the U.S. on this topic at a reasonably accredited institution. Many institutions will allow you to take that class. It's also available online at other universities, and so that's something that is going to be a recommendation. But the other classes I would like to see syllabi. So Dr. Myers and I can make a determination on whether you meet the requirements. Only listing the courses that contain. The second thing that Dr. Myers raised, and I concur with his assessment, is the supervision falls below the threshold. It said 1532 hours were completed. And we would need 75 hours of supervision, and you only submitted 55. It appears that you did a half-time internship for 20 hours, but you went ahead and counted 20 to 26. Reading through your contract, it looks like they were very clear that they would provide 1 hour of supervision, but you're counting more hours. So anyway, so that does not meet our requirements, and so that is a problem. And if the internship does not meet the requirements, then your chances are to maybe withdraw your application and do a second internship that is in compliance with the guidelines. You're also involved in a postdoc, and that is necessary for temporary licensure. Postdoc is, you want to do that right now, I understand. So there are a couple of significant problems that we noticed with your application, and at this point, you know, we would issue a letter asking for additional information on both of those. Since you're here, do you have any comments, Dr. Bush? And just to let you know, even if ethics was covered during the internship, and I know they mentioned it significantly, which I'm glad they did, it's still our statutes say that you have to do a 3-credit university course. So it doesn't matter all the additional training that one might have received, the course is required by this board. So since you're here, I'll give you an opportunity to maybe speak for a couple of minutes, and then we can make a decision, you know. Dr. Bush? Is Dr. Bush on the line?
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Can you hear? Yes. My internship hours was between 30 and 40 hours a week, and we had 4 hours of individual supervision. Was a question about that?
Yes, your form that was completed indicates 56 hours of supervision. If you indeed did 30, 35 hours of work a week, your supervision needs to be at least, it needs to be reflected in the form. So you may want to talk to your supervisor who completed the form, and she did not indicate the number of hours that you are stating in right now.
Okay. All right. We can revise on that, you know, go over on that, because that has been 75 hours of individual and individual supervision. So we can probably look at, you know, at that session of the application. And from my understanding, you would like to see a course syllabus for cognition and emotions. And
no, for all your courses, not just cognition and emotion. That was just an example I used. So.
Okay. So you want all the syllabus for all the courses. And from what, because I took ethics, but you say you don't see the ethics there. So the course syllabus probably would give the information that we are requesting.
Okay, that's fine. So that's what we're going to request, Dr. Bush, additional information. Mm-hmm. And also, when you're putting your courses in all of the categories, you cannot list it several times. If you're using cognition and emotion in the affective basis, that's the only place you can use it. You cannot use it in other places. You have to have 3 credit courses, different courses that meet the requirements in each of the categories. It cannot be the same course being covered several times.
Yeah. I believe it's just like, by the way, the title of the course, but that we can go over, you know, I can go back to the registrar and also with the course coordinator and go over that.
Yes. So I would encourage you to complete the coursework form again, include syllabi, courses you're submitting that will align with our requirements, so all syllabi, and alternatively, you have the option to take an ethics course that covers APA ethics here in the U.S. So if you took an ethics course in the university where you got your degree and it did not cover the American Psychological Association ethics, then you would need to retake the course, because it's important if you're working here that you have the APA Code of Ethics, because that is what the board and, you know, what is expected for you as you practice in the U.S. So,
yeah, I do have those 2 courses, and I believe it's probably the way it was labeled on my transcript, because like a couple of the courses was taken in U.S. and was transferred to Charisma, and I believe like because it was a transfer courses, I took some courses at ASU, and I transferred them to Charisma. So
Dr. Bush, we need to see original transcripts. So if you took the course at ASU or any other U.S. university, you need to submit those transcripts as well. All transcripts must be submitted. Even if it was transferred to the institution that awarded your degree, you have to submit the original transcript from, if you went to 5 universities in the U.S. and took 5 different courses, all of those need to be submitted.
Okay.
So please submit those. So we will need your coursework form completed. We will need official transcripts from all universities where you completed the course. And list the original course, not the... some universities will take the course and then apply it to their credit. I want to see the original course listed with the title of the original course and that syllabus that you took, not the equivalent course that was transferred into for Charisma University. Okay?
Okay. So at this point, the question is about the APA ethics and... that is the only one, right?
Well, I'm not going to make a determination. Neither Dr. Myers or I can make a determination right now. So we look at your courses, the syllabi, and the original transcript from other universities that you may have completed the course. So at this point, it is difficult. We are not in a position to say one way or the other. Okay? Once we get all that information, we will do a second review of your material and make a determination whether we need additional information or if we have sufficient information to approve that portion of the application.
Okay. All right.
Okay? Okay.
All right.
Thank you, and thank you for being here so we could explain what the expectations of this board are.
Okay. And is the meeting over for me?
Yeah, you can leave now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and make the motion. Dr. Myers, I recommend that we send Dr. Bush a letter asking for additional information. We would like her to redo her coursework form listing any courses that apply in each category. And if it's used in one category, it cannot be used in another category. We are requesting syllabi. We are also requesting original transcripts. If she did indeed complete some of the courses at other universities, so that wasn't made evident when we reviewed her application. And then her internship supervision falls below, so the clarification on that or maybe a submission of a new form would be correct, including logs. So that's my motion. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. I just had one tiny question which is kind of bothering me. Let me go back. I wonder if we have it in our statutes that the doctoral program must be at least 2 years in length. I know it's an APA requirement.
Dr. Malott, I didn't hear your question. You kind of faded out.
Oh, sorry. I'm just wondering, and I need to go look at our statutes. I don't think it is in our statutes, but I'm just wondering if we specify a length for the doctoral program. Is there something that I just want to verify?
The length of a doctoral program?
Yeah. But it's in the statute.
Dr. Malott and Dr. Meyer, this is Heather. I just want to make sure I understand the question. Is it the length of time that the student is in the doctoral program? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because WES said 2.5 years. But I don't think our statute specified. It's just something that kind of struck me. That it's a little short, you know. APA requires a minimum of 3 years.
Well, and I had focused on that as well, but it was unclear because it did look like she had taken some master's level or done a master's.
Okay, so graduate studies. Oh,
but the Charisma University didn't. I'm sorry?
No, so that makes sense. Okay, I don't think we need to address that right now. Once we get all her transcripts, she probably would have 3 years of equivalency, FTE equivalency. And I don't think our statute specifically addressed that. So, but it's just something that struck me when I saw the WS transcripts. I'm just looking at the statute really quick to refresh.
I'm not seeing anything.
Okay. I didn't think it was in there. It's just when you review APA guidelines, they are the ones, but it's not in our statute. So I don't think we... Plus, if she has other graduate work, that all counts in that three-year equivalency. So I think they're okay, but it's just something that struck me.
Heather, Kathy, are you aware of anything?
Dr. Malott and Ms. Galvin, no.
No.
If my memory serves me correctly, there is no statute, and I remember an applicant probably 5 years ago that was in a doctoral program for like 10 years, and it was not a problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 10 is not a problem. It's the less amount that it is.
Oh,
Minimum number is what just struck me because I don't think we have it, and I've never seen it, but it just raised an issue when I saw the West transcript and they gave us a length. So, since it's not in statutes, I don't think we can hold her to, you know.
Right.
But as long as she meets the coursework requirements and all the training requirements, you know, and that the program is a psychology program, which it appears to be, etc. Okay, I think did we vote on our motion, Heather, Kathy?
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're done with that category. We can go back and move to the agenda as we have it. And the first is candidates who approve to sit for the exam. So, the first one is Patricia Parker. I'll go ahead and do a quick review. Patricia Parker got her doctorate in clinical psych 2018 from Walden. It's not an APA-approved program. Her coursework has to be in order. She submitted some of her hours were listed incorrectly. I'm looking at her application. As we speak, there was a general affiliation agreement between Walden and the place where she did her fieldwork. It wasn't quite specific to her training per se, and it really did not address the provision in any great length. So she did her internship at New Hope College. She did 2,000 hours. It said Section B needs to be completed again. She said number of hours training worked for me. It says 9. I don't know whether there's another number in your form. But obviously 9 is doesn't add up to 2,000. And then total hours of individual face-to-face supervision says 200. Number of direct client contact hours says 2,000. So those hours are all off. They're not.
The 200 looks like it was written over something. So I just had some concerns that one was handwritten, whereas everything else was typed.
Yeah, so we need that verified, you know. I mean, that comes directly from the site. It doesn't come from the student. So,
Madam Chair, Dr. Myers, this applicant... I had to go back and forth with her quite a bit to get the forms corrected, and so there might be some that have handwriting on them because I sent them back for correction, and then they were sent back with changes.
Was there a letter with the changes of something, why they made the change?
Well, as you had asked me to, I have been calculating the hours before we come to committee and asking them to revise the forms when they are incorrect to verify only those hours that meet requirements within a block of time. And so they have been sending them back with changes with that instruction.
But the number of hours per week wasn't corrected, obviously. It's because it says 9 hours per week.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, so that one is complete. It should be at least 40 hours per week if you did it in 1 year
And so, and I'm looking at the internship affiliation agreement. I'm trying to find that. Do you see that again? Site affiliation is a legal contract between site. A very generic one, and it really doesn't talk about a training agreement. It talks about the school education coordinator, you know, that there's a site supervisor. It requires, talk briefly about the supervision and who will provide it, and it talks about the student's responsibilities. So, and the site supervisor sign and the student sign the school supervisor. So we have those, the school supervisor signatures not on the form. And then she submitted all her hours. So but regardless,
So the other things that I noticed about the internship, as you mentioned, the hours seem off. The supervisor letter also says there was only 1 hour of supervision per week.
What
and it's
agent?
Not... let me find that. Page 33... Yeah, page 33, it says she spent an hour during the time indicated so that he could supervise her. And then he also says New Hope Corps, to my knowledge, is a center for assessing so on and so forth. It leaves a question as to whether the supervisor had access to the placement, to the notes, anything like that. So that letter left some doubt about that. And then, I mean, the signature he gives are completely different for those, that first letter and second letter. So it just seemed like some concerns about the verification for this internship.
Yes. So I think the other question that we do need to ask is, was the supervisor, and I'm going back to us, was the supervisor responsible for the integrated, the intent? I think the key goes back to, was supervision provided by the person who carries clinical responsibility for the cases being supervised? I think we do need clarification on that. Would you say that's the right question, Dr. Myers?
Correct, yes.
So, the supervisor sounds very distant and very kind of like he said, he assumes that this agency did this, you know, which is a little bit concerning, you know. The letter was also very poorly written, you know, in the sense that in the case of Patricia Parker, and then there's a huge line, kind of a gap, you know, it doesn't look like a formal letter, you know, it's almost like it was typed in. the New Hope Corps, to my knowledge, and then he writes a second letter that he served a supervisor. Yeah, it's just a so I think, and I'm not sure, and maybe Ms. Galvin, you can help us with this question I have. I'd like the supervisor to clarify, you know, his relationship with the agency, you know, his availability to the site, and the psychologist in cases of emergency, his clinical responsibility of the cases, to specify that in a letter, and then who was the secondary staff psychologist, because I don't see that listed anywhere. And maybe talk a little bit more about how the was the psychology, you know, the interaction with other trainees. But again, that's not mentioned in the affiliation agreement, so just a little bit. So, you know, if it was mentioned in the affiliate agreement, we would have more information on that section, but that's not mentioned there. So if he could comment. So can we ask him directly, or do we have to go through the applicant?
No, you could ask the supervisor directly.
Okay.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I think we do need those, you know. So who was the secondary psychologist, because that's not mentioned in the agreement. So, and kind of all to elaborate on the item since it wasn't covered in the agreement. So, so maybe Ms. Folks, as you write that letter, you know, kind of to Dr. Rose Greenbaum, maybe you and I can work on the items that we need clarification.
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay. And so I think all of our questions for Dr. Parker are related to our internship. Is that correct? Was there anything else that we were...
Yes, so on the... she's using... pre-internship hours as well, and it looks like those were supervised by an MFT professional, not by a psychologist.
Madam Chair, Dr. Myers, sure. If I could interrupt, this is Kathy. Dr. Parker is aware that her pre-internship hours did not meet requirements, and she has changed her application to EPPP only.
Okay, so she's
she plans to do
going
a
to
postdoc.
Be her.
She's going to do a postdoc.
Okay. Then I think that was the only other concern we had.
Okay. So. I guess we're done with the discussion for Dr. Parker. The next one is Dr. Lizette Laird. Do you want to do a brief review, Dr. Myers?
Yeah. So Dr. Lizette Laird graduated from Pepperdine in 2018, which is an APA-approved program. She's not submitting pre-internship hours. Her internship was APA accredited at a correctional facility for 2,100 hours. It looked like she was counting over 40 hours a week. She put down 44 hours a week. Again, she'll be going on to a postdoc. Had references. So everything else looked good. No issues stood out to me.
Okay. I keep losing the files. Every time I click out of one, I get out of the drive. So, shit. Our internship was an ACA internship site. I'm looking for the 44 hours. I think you need to get it corrected. Oh, it's because she put 2189.
Right. And then on page 10 is where she put 44 hours per week. But again, she has her internship meets that this would be when she submits for her postdoc hours completion.
I'm just wondering whether we need her to correct. I think we do need an email letter on the file that we'll be counting 40 of the, I think we need something. We've done that in the past when people include more than the 40 hours per week. At least for the record, some people say, well, we accepted 2189, So we can get page corrected, just only 40 of these 44 hours were counted towards supervised experience towards licensure. I think that would help keep the file, accurate. Do you agree with me, Ms. Galvin?
I think that's fine.
Yeah. So maybe she can and then she can move to Friday. It shouldn't be a problem. That only 40 of the 40 hours will be applied towards meeting the supervised experience towards internship. Okay? So we'll go ahead and make a motion that we send Dr. Parker a request for additional information, and that we ask Dr. Lez to verify that only 40 of the 44 hours will be counted towards internships. But if we get that in time, in the next day or so, then she can be moved to the consent agenda for approval to sit for the exam. So, do I have a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We're done with this category. We will move to the next one. The request to sit for the exam and consider upon passing the exam. So, in this category, we have quite a few applicants, and do you want to do the first one?
Yes. Dr. Robertson graduated from Alliant International University in 2018. Is APA accredited. The pre-doc hours that she used, she added up to 3,500 hours with Alliant. However, it looks like she only submitted 945 hours towards her application. Because she did not give information about all the locations. Her internship was 2,000 hours at Tripler Army Medical Center, which was APA accredited, and then she's counting 224 hours postdoc, also with the military. She has good references, and so counting the pre-intern internship and postdoc hours, they all do add over to 3,000 hours. Her application looks good.
Yeah.
Dr. Mullett, did you have any questions?
No. She's good. She probably included those that absolutely met the requirements, and she has enough hours to meet that $3,000 requirement. So. Okay. The next few, I'll briefly talk about them. Both of these are Ashley Pelton and Tariq Akbari. Both of these are re-apps. They have been reviewed by this board previously, and I am supportive of their application moving forward.
Agreed.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and do the next one since I got it. Mark?
I need to recuse myself from Dr. Kent's review. I currently work with him.
Oh, okay.
Move that to the full board.
The only problem with Mark Kent and moving to the full board, we will have to ask Dr. Bohansky to do the review since I will not be there on Friday. So,
Kathy, can we arrange that?
Yes, we can. Dr. Meyer had previously informed me. I've already placed him on the board's agenda, but I will contact Dr. Bohansky and ask him to do the review.
Thank you.
There is a couple of 2,100. Okay, yeah. He has one old reference, and so that could be an issue. Just a point. So he's moved to the full board. Next one is Natalie Loomis, PhD. Natalie got her school psych degree from the University of Arizona in a PhD program. She did her internship at Scottsdale Unified District, which is an 865 for 2000. Her postdoc also appears to meet the requirements, so I don't have any problems with the application. Dr.
I thought her application was good.
Oh, you want to do the next one?
Yes. So Dr. Versace graduated from Divine Mercy University, which was APA accredited. He's submitting pre-internship hours, 1,355 hours. There did seem to be a concern here. One form says that he did not have group supervision, and then another form says that he does have group supervision. In addition, there were no training plans for the vital sources location, and the training plan for IPS was unclear if it was really a training plan. So concerns with all of his hours that were pre-internship. His internship was 1,947 hours. It was APIC approved. It looked good. References were good. So the only thing was the pre-internship hours.
Okay, let's look at it. I think I had problems with his one that was very, very short. It was like 40 hours. So he did one at Vital Sources and one at... So the two that I looked at was Vital Sources and the first one that you included.
IPS.
Yes, yes. And if you look, he has one for vital sources, psychological services, the external practicum agreement. Do you see that, Dr. Myers? He had it first rather than second, and I had to go back and look, and I found it. Rather than...
Yeah, there's the external practicum agreement for IPS.
And there's also one for vital sources.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, the, what he did was he included it first, so even I missed it. And then I went back to look at something and I saw it. So he listed that first, the agreement, and then he listed the IPS. So in the paperwork, he listed that first. So. So it's on page. So it's on page 25.
Okay. So I just saw the Institute for Psychological Sciences, which I thought was IPS. But okay, so I see the vital sources. Okay. All right. Thank you. So then it's just a matter of on the forms, he states, let me find the pages, on page 17, for vital sources, he put 1 hour of individual supervision and zero group supervision, but then... On the verification form, which is on page 23, he puts that he had 18 hours of group supervision. So it may just be a matter of correcting that on page 17.
Since this is the official form, and this one is actually verified by the instructor, I think, Ms. Stokes, you can get him to correct the summary form so it matches and you have the right one on record. But since this is verified by his university, I'm okay with accepting the hours. And that one was a summary form we created just to help us, you know, when they're doing the additions, because people were submitting so many. So, but this is the actual verification form with the signature. I'm okay with accepting those hours, but maybe we can get it corrected for the file, Ms. Folks?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
So I think his application is okay then with this, with the location of his contract.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. The next one is Nadia Morley, ID, from Midwestern University. She did her internship at an APA-approved place. Her program is APA-approved. She did a postdoc. She's submitting another 1,000 hours of postdoc. She's, I think the postdoc was a little longer, but she's only using 1,000 of it, which was indicated on the application, so I'm okay with her application.
The only concern I noticed was it was unclear whether her postdoc started in 2017 or 2018. The training plan was signed in 2017, but the verification form... 2018, I believe.
Okay.
Let me... My page is here.
Okay.
Yeah, so on the on page 26 for the postdoctoral verification, it says it started 9/25/18 to present.
What page did you say? 25?
26.
Oh, the postdoc, okay.
Yes.
It says 9/25/2018 to present. And she did her. Okay, so what did you see as the concern?
Well, the training plan was signed in 2017. And she's submitting for. Well, she may have had 1,000 hours that it started in 2018, but just wasn't sure. So it was just unclear to me as to when her postdoc was actually occurring. Because her on page 33, the training plan for the postdoc is dated of October 2017.
Right. Yeah. And here she says postdoc was started 9/25/2018, and then the professor or the supervisor also says 9/25/2018, but her contract says 2017 in several places.
Yeah, and her postdoctoral fellow, the report on page 8, where she describes her professional experience, it says 2017 as a start date for her postdoc.
So the form is filled out incorrectly.
That would be my guess.
So what we need to do with her, Dr. Morley, Ms. Folks, is we need verification that should be attached to the form whether her postdoc was in 2017-18 or 18 didn't start in 2018, which I think is an error because then she wouldn't have done so many hours by, you know, within 6 months. So it's an error on the form, and it needs to be corrected and attached.
Okay, Madam Chair.
We also need... Go ahead.
Madam Chair, did you want that to be an informal request or a formal additional information request?
I think we have the contract, we have the other part. I think it can be an informal request with an email verification from both the supervisor and Dr. Morley that have clarifying the dates of her postdoc.
All right. Thank you.
Unless, Ms. Galvin, you think you need to make them redo the postdoc form? It looks like a date error. Nothing else seems in order.
Dr. Millett, this is Heather. I just received a message from Jean, and she had to step away for a minute.
okay.
I don't know that the committee looked at page 8 of the application, or at least I'm sure the committee looked at it, but I don't know that it was addressed just now. It says that the start date was September 25th, 2017 for that postdoc experience, so it looks like it was probably just a typo on the postdoc form.
Yeah, it does seem. So if we can get verification and attach, you know, that form, I think we'd be good.
Okay.
So, yeah. But Dr. Myers, really appreciate you catching that little discrepancy. Great catch. Thank you. Okay. The next one is Ricardo Thomas, and he got his PhD in 2012 from Wisconsin and Milwaukee in counseling psych. He did an APA internship for 2,000 hours and a postdoc for 2,000 hours. His references were in order. I didn't see any problems with his application. Dr. Mayan?
Well, the school, he said that it was APA accredited, but there was no verification of that. So I didn't know if he needed that.
Ms. Folks, do you include that?
I'm checking. Oh, unfortunately, I did miss that one.
I think I know that it's accredited. That's why I didn't question it. And I know USC Wisconsin has an accredited program.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm double checking. But I'm almost 99.9% positive. It's one of, you know, it's a pretty hard, yeah. It's been accredited a long time, so. And it's listed on their website, too. I think this, we can go ahead and approve it, but we should put that in the file so we have it on record. Suzanne Mumby. Suzanne Mumby has applied to the board previously and was approved to sit for the exam. She had to reapply but did not do it in a timely manner. So based on that, she had to submit another full application to the board. Did you see any problems with the application?
I did not. Everything looks good, just did not pass the ECCC the first time. So.
Yeah, she waited a little too long for her application, so she had to reapply. So I'm okay with hers. And I think that completes this category, so I will go ahead and make a motion to approve the following candidates for approval. We have set up to find all my notes. We had Amy Robertson. Was Amy Robertson okay? I cannot tell from my notes. Did you have any problems with her application? Ms. Folk, do you remember our discussion?
I believe it was approved.
She's good.
So I make a motion to approve Amy Robertson, Ashley Towson, Fareed Akbari, Mark will not be reviewed. His application has been tabled to go to the full board. Natalie Loomis, Nathan Wershesky, and Nadia Morley. We had a slight problem with her application. No, she was fine, right? Oh, we're going to get her date verification. And then Ricardo Thomas was fine. We're going to add APA to the file and then Susan Mumby. So I will make a motion that we approve all of these applications with the exception of Mark Kent, who's going to go to the full board for review. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion approved. We're done with this category. I apologize for being... I've been traveling from Tuesday till yesterday. Overseas, I came back from India. So I'm functioning on 2 or 3 hours of sleep for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
I've just been dozing. I got back last night late. So then woke up at 3 a.m. because of the time change. And I'm a little foggy, I must admit.
All right. Well, I think you're doing great under this.
Because I was like, I can't remember what we just discussed, and I said, that's not like me. Normally, you know, I can remember those things, and I'm like, what did we discuss? So, okay, so we're done with that category, and our next chat is requesting approval for licensure by waiver. The first person we have is Denise Escobar. She is licensed in New Mexico. She has passed the ECCC. She did her degree in Florida, clinical psych. She submitted pre-doc and post-doc hours, which looked like they're in order. So I did not have a problem with her application.
I agree.
Okay. Do you want to do the next one?
Yes. Jessica Weeks. Dr. Weeks, this is an additional information request. Her postdoc did not have enough supervision, and so she submitted pre-internship hours instead. And the pre-internship hours, or pre-doc hours, were... She submitted 2,000 hours. It was a school psychology practicum. There was a training plan in place. And then she's still counting her internship hours for 2,000. And so I thought that the application was sufficient.
Yeah. And she's part of a combined program in school psych and counseling psych. I'm very familiar with her program because we looked at it very carefully when we created our program. And they encourage their students to do really 2 internships, you know, one during the program to maintain their NAS approval status too. So that was very interesting for me to see. So I had no problems with her application too. Next one we have is Lori Holland. She did her PhD at Palo Alto in clinical psych 2017. She did her internship at the San Francisco VA Medical Center, her postdoc also there. And she's passed the ECCC. I didn't have any problem with her application.
And I did not have any problems either.
Yeah.
Dr. Gray was... another request for information, and the concern was that she graduated less than a year prior to the school being approved. She was able to submit some additional information, and I wasn't sure about this one. I don't know that everything fit up perfectly, but I think that I thought the information she provided would be sufficient, given that it was limited information from 40 years ago.
Yeah, the only thing is, as I read her, you know, I went to the website, and she can actually request from the registrar's office a description of the program and the courses that she listed. So it is right there. The registrar provides information. All universities have to keep copies of all catalogs, and it's archived in the library, and they will provide copies of it. She did not try to get them. It's not on the website, obviously, but the university does provide an email address, registrar@alliance.edu, which will give us a copy of the pages. The other thing is, when she completed that section for her coursework, she didn't put the semester that she completed. She didn't put the year. It's just like, I don't know, she didn't do it. And, you know, she kept talking about how great her program was and all the people that she trained under. But what we are asking for, she left out the semester and year course taken, the department and course number. So, and I was looking at the transcript, and I thought it was semester hours. She says it's semester hours. So I went back and I looked at the transcript again, you know, that she submitted in her first original application. And I am looking at Alliance, and they say it's regular credit. So why is she calling it semester? Or was it trimester then? So I'm having a real hard time. It looks like, I don't know. Well, I'm just kind of...
At the top of the, let's see. For the transcript, on page 22, it's kind of covered by a paperclip, but it does say trimester admitted. Now that's blank, but well, that was all I could find for. There we go. On page 23, it says trimester admitted fall 1973.
Page 23, you said?
Yes. And right in the middle at the top of the page, it says institution, then degree and date, and then it says trimester admitted.
But
you're right. I don't know why she didn't just... She could have filled out the semester the year was taken, the course numbers. Those are all there.
Mm-hmm. And she just left it blank. And I don't think she requested a copy from the registrar's office. So I'm going to ask her to request a copy of the catalog pages from the time she completed, because the registrar's office is supposed to have it on file and supposed to make it available. And I'm not sure whether she made that contact with the registrar's office. And it doesn't sound like she did based on her letter. So we're going to send a letter asking for that information. Are you okay with that, Dr. Myers?
Yes, that's fine.
So the next person we have is Steve Sutty. And Steve Sutty also received request for additional information. He provided an explanation, and I wrote in my notes very cryptically that I was okay with it. I think he submitted 3 internship hours, but they all appear to be well within the requirements. So, did you have a concern with him?
Well, I did not see a training plan.
Yeah, so what What was submitted for Steve Tutty was a note from his training director explaining how it was constructed and kind of talking about it sequentially. And one is allowed to do that post hoc because many, especially 10 years ago, that was not required in many programs. And so if you're okay with what was submitted by his training director, then we could use that in lieu of a training plan. And I think
the only other
Go ahead.
The only other concern I had was that he had indicated that he was licensed for 10 years when he was not.
But I would guess that was that
for the first round.
His math was a little creative. He's at 9.5 years. He's about 6 months short, or maybe 9 months short of 10 years. And I don't know how he counted his 10 years. So.
Okay. So those were my only notes for him.
Yeah, and I think it was almost like he was taking the day he passed an exam or something. He mentioned that, you know. But when we added the Utah, he got one extra year, but it still doesn't add up to 10 years. Do you think that's a concern?
No, then I'm okay with approving him.
Okay. And then the last one is Tracy Moreno. Do you want to do Tracy?
Yeah, so there was a concern about the number of hours of supervision that she received. There was documentation from the supervisor noting that that was an error and that the sufficient number of supervision hours was provided. And then the other concern had been that both of the references were out of date, and they both submitted letters stating that the dates that they provided were when they were working directly together, but that the relationships are still ongoing. So I felt the concerns from the initial review were addressed, and I'm okay with the application.
Okay. I'm okay with that, too. So I think in this category, we will approve all of the candidates to move forward to the full board, with the exception of Dr. Gray, who we are requesting additional information. Is that correct? Yes.
Yes.
So that's the motion. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion approved. We're done with that category. The next category is requesting approval of postdoctoral experience for licensure. And we had two categories in this. We had David Dubner and Charlene Kim. Both of them have submitted passing scores for the exam, and they are postdoc showing completion that is in line with our statutory requirements. I think David Dubner is from NAU, but I don't know him at all. I don't think I know him. So I'm okay with both of those applications. I know I'm doing it as a group, but they were very, very similar in terms of passing example stuff. Are you okay with both of those applications?
Yes, both of them look good to me.
Okay, so make a motion that we approve Charlene Kim and David Dubner for approval of postdoctoral experience for licensure.
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion approved. We are done with that. Do you want to do the next two, Dr. Myers?
Okay. For licensure by credential, Dr. Karasi, is a member of the National Register of Health Service Psychologists, licensed since 98 in Indiana, also Maine and Illinois. I thought that hers looked good, and the same with Lori Edwards, also National Register of Health Service Psychologist, licensed since 2001 in California, also licensed in Hawaii, Utah, and New Mexico. Again, her application looks complete, so I had no problems with either one.
That's good. Okay, I agree. Do you want to make a motion?
I make a motion to amend Dr. Fassi and Dr. Edwards to the board for approval of licensure. Do I have a second?
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We are done with the entire, since we already did Dr. Bush earlier, done with the entire category. We can move to item number 5, new agenda items for future meetings. Do I hear any items? Okay. I just want to, before we move to adjournment, I just want to thank Ms. Folks and Ms. Broadus for their work in helping getting all the materials together. I appreciate the creativity in submitting files. I was able to read the files on a plane, on a train, you name it, wherever I was. I found out that you could, in your Google Drive, you could say read offline. So I read it at 40,000 feet above while I was flying back from India. So that was really convenient. So I really appreciate your help in putting all these materials together. Appreciate your review of all the files, Dr. Meyer, and that we can keep moving applicants forward, you know, and meeting all the deadlines. So again, Ms. Broaddus, I read the email yesterday with great sadness but excitement for you.
Thank you.
And we will miss you at the committee meeting. You have been a huge source of help to all of us on application reviews, and we're going to miss your knowledge and your expertise. But I want to wish you well. The board is very lucky to have you as its new executive director. And we've worked together for a long time. So,
yeah.
Since when? Yeah. So I hope we will have some time to celebrate your great accomplishments with this board. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So, maybe you'll come back, because you've come back to us before. I remember when you left us for a short period of time and then you came back. So, I am always hopeful, Ms. Broaddus, that we haven't seen the last. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Again, thank you, everybody, and have a great weekend.
Thank you all.